Open your Bibles, if you will, to 1 John chapter 2 here this morning. 1 John is a part of your Bible that doctrinally deals with the Jews in the tribulation. But as with all of the Bible, even the parts that do not apply to us doctrinally, there's still principles and lessons that we can glean as New Testament Christians. Amen? Notice a few things here in 1 John chapter 2. Start off in verse 1, it says this. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen? He starts off the chapter by saying, hey guys, don't sin. But if you do, you have an advocate with the Father. I am thankful for that. And I'm certainly glad that that principle applies to church age, to church age saints. Amen? It says in verse 2, it says, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. What a blessing that is. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Well, I can make a spiritual application on that verse, certainly. But like I said, 1 John is technically to the Jews during the tribulation time period. And that verse 3, kind of brings back memories of Matthew chapter 19, which says this, and behold, one came and said unto him, that is to Jesus Christ, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, if you want eternal life, keep the commandments, right? So this guy just asked about eternal life, and Jesus Christ's answer was, keep the commandments. Now, that man wasn't surprised at all by this answer, right? And he asks in verse 18, he says, which, by the way, Lord, which one should I keep? Because I'm doing a pretty good job on most of them. and Jesus Christ told him, he said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So he clarified the answer to the question, and basically he clarified it and said, hey, I'm talking about the Ten Commandments, right? That's kind of what he brought him back to. Now, if you were to ask me about eternal life, obviously that is not the answer that I would give, because we're not under law, we're under grace. My answer would be more along the lines of Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I would think of verses like Romans 3:28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Amen? I would think of passages of Scripture like we find in Galatians 3. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, curses everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith. The man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. That the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Scripture through faith. Those are some things that would run through my mind if you were to ask me about eternal life. Listen, if you're here this morning and you're not saved, if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me make this perfectly clear. You can try to keep the commandments, even if you just work on only the Ten Commandments, all day long till the cows come home. But deep down inside, you know this. You can't do it. Amen? I mean, you can try to be a good person, but you know yourself inside better than anybody else does, and you know as well as I do, you can't do it. Deep down, you know you have failed every single time you've tried to, quote, be a good person. Right? If you really wanted to be honest with yourself, I would venture to say this. I don't think you can keep all 10 of them for one day. Amen? That's just welcome to being human. That is not a good thing. But ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ died on that cross to bring you and I forgiveness as what? As a free gift. Amen? says in Romans 3:24, it says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It says in 1 Corinthians 2:12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. If you're lost here this morning, listen, I hope that you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen? I hope you realize that it's by faith, it's not by being a good person, it's not by joining a church, it's not by getting baptized, it's not by doing all the things that people normally associate with religion. It is by really realizing you're a sinner, realizing what Jesus Christ did for you on Calvary's cross some 2,000 years ago, and then going to Him and asking Him to save you because of what He did for you, not because of what you can do for yourself. Amen? Ask Him and He'll have mercy on you. He will. He's a great God. Why? Because He loved you. He loved you enough to die for you. Amen? Trust what He did on Calvary's cross. Now, that was a long introduction to kind of say this. Here we are in 1 John dealing with a passage of Scripture that applies to the Jews in the tribulation. But there are still things that we can learn that apply to our lives. Listen, one of the things we can learn is found down in verse 15. Take a look down in verse 15. John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, we go down, it says this. It says, love not the world. Oh, that's pretty good advice. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I can learn this general principle, and that's pretty much what I'm going to be talking about this morning. I can learn this. I am not supposed to love this world. Why? Why? Well, Isaiah 13 says this, and I will punish the world for their evil. I don't want to be a part of that. Amen? And the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. That's the Lord's take on things. Galatians says this. It says, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. It says this. It says, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God the Father. Listen, the Bible calls this place that we live in, these things that are going on around us, it calls it this present evil world. That's God's assessment of what we're living in. Basically a cesspool, right? But He gave Himself for us that He might deliver us from this present evil world. He has a desire, brethren, to deliver us from everything we see going on around us. Now, you and I have a choice to make in our lives. Every day that we live, every time we make a decision, we can live for this present evil world, or we can live for the world to come. Amen? It's really that simple. I've titled this message very simply, The War of the Worlds. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you again for just an opportunity to be here on a Sunday morning. Lord, I appreciate these folks taking time out of their schedule. It is a blessing to be saved. Lord, as we already said, if there's somebody here or somebody watching that has never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, Father, I pray that they would see that this really is a battle of two worlds, your world and the devil's world. And Father, I pray that each and every one of us would have a greater desire as we grow in our Christianity to live for your world and to live for your ways. And Father, to get further and further away from this world that's down here. This present evil world, Father, has got really nothing to offer us. Nothing that's eternal, that's for sure. But you do. And I pray that you'd help us to see that. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Back around the year 1898-ish, that time frame, H.G. Wells wrote the book that everyone's probably heard of, a science fiction book called War of the Worlds. I didn't realize it was written that long ago. I had forgotten that. But it's one of the early stories that details the conflict between, you know, mankind and the extraterrestrials, the Martians out there. In short, the Martians, you know, have landed and begin taking over the world. That's the take that everybody gets off H.G. Wells. Now, H.G. Wells said this. about the book. He said that the plot actually arose from a discussion with his brother Frank about the British and what they were doing in Tasmania, and how they were going in and colonizing and taking over and wiping out the indigenous people down there. And him and his brother were talking, and he got to wondering, what would it be like if the Martians came and did that to us? That was the inspiration for the book. And, you know, as far as the Aboriginal people down there, it's unknown how many there were. When the Dutch arrived in 1642 and when James Cook landed around 1777, but when the British began their colonization in the early 1800s, in about 1803, there were an estimated 7,000 to 8,000 people. And many of them were already dying from diseases, of course, that they came in contact with from other sailors. But almost all of those 7,000 people wound up dying over the course of the next 27 years in the colonization. And that's what he was kind of thinking about when he wrote that book. By the end of Britain's colonization in 1830, there were about two families of people that were living on the island. By 1835, there was only one family living there. What a thing. But this theme, the War of the Worlds, has been made and remade ever since. It's provided a lot of entertainment, I'm sure, for a lot of people. It has been updated as you go through time and history. It becomes, you know, I don't know if you want to say better and better along the way. That's a pretty cool ray gun. But that theme, the War of the Worlds, has been just a popular theme that has kind of stuck. And in 1938... most of you probably know that that story was actually dramatized in a radio program starring Orson Welles. That radio program was said to have caused extreme panic in a lot of the United States. They debate about how much panic was actually there. But it was performed as a broadcast on Halloween at 8 o'clock on Halloween night on Sunday, October 30th in 1938. It came over the Columbia Broadcasting System radio network, and 1 hour of that program started off with the theme music and the theater, you know, on the air, and an announcement was kind of made, and they mentioned that they were doing the War of the Worlds early on, but they opened it up as just a regular show, and for about the next 20 minutes, the broadcast just presented a typical evening of radio programming, and then all of a sudden it was, quote, interrupted by news bulletins. The first few news flashes occurred during that presentation of live music and described a series of odd observations made on Mars, explosions. And it was followed by, an unusual objects falling to the Earth. So they're playing a regular music program and they're interrupting the program with these news flashes. And people are listening to this news program, and they're going, what's going on? And so they interrupted it, and the music program would return, only to be interrupted again from a report on Grover's Mill, where police said a crowd of curious onlookers had surrounded a strange cylindrical object that fell from the sky. The music continued to go on, and then it was interrupted again when the situation escalated and somebody reported Martians emerging from the cylinders. Again, this is just a normal music program interrupted by news flashes, and people are listening to this, right? And these Martians started attacking using these, ray guns. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I like Marvin the Martian. I always thought he was pretty cool. I always wanted one of his ray guns. But that's another story. But the radio program continued in that format, music and then interrupted by these news flashes. And they got increasingly more, dramatic as the time went on. And they started detailing how that alien invasion was devastating, and that the U.S. military had been called out, and they were powerless to stop it, that nothing could take place. The first part of the show climaxes with a live report from a Manhattan rooftop as giant Martian war machines release clouds of poisonous smoke across New York. The reporter mentions in passing that the Martian cylinders have landed all over the country. And as he described the desperate situation and how that the New Yorkers were dropping like flies, and how that smoke was approaching his position, all of a sudden, his radio broadcast just stopped. he coughs a little bit, and then he falls silent. And this is going on during the radio program. This is why people, it was on Halloween evening of all things, but people got kind of concerned, right? Now, it came out in the newspapers what happened. It was a pretty amazing thing. But, folks, back in 1939, we didn't have CNN or Fox News to watch it live. People were listening to the radio and all they could do was imagine. Amen? War of the Worlds. I don't know how much panic there actually was. They say this program didn't reach all that many people, but it was enough to make the news headlines in quite a few papers. I wonder what people are going to think when the Antichrist and his angels start to take over. I wonder what the broadcast on CNN or Fox News is going to look like during that episode. Amen? I know that we won't be around to see it, because Jesus Christ is going to come and get us at the rapture. But listen, until then, you and I have to remember this. We're still living in the war of the worlds. Amen? This present evil world, and what we're going to refer to as my world, the one that I'm looking forward to, the one that I claim, the one where my citizenship truly resides. And more and more we're seeing this kind of a war between these two worlds escalate and get worse and worse and worse, just like that radio program started off kind of a mild, hey, we saw a few explosions on Mars, no big deal. But by the time half an hour go by into that radio program, it was a completely different story. Amen? When it comes to the world that we live in temporarily, I want you to consider the contrast between that world and the world we should be thinking about. And the world where our thoughts and our affections and our attention should be placed on. Listen, my world, that's the one that I choose to try my best to stay in as much as I can. Amen? And I just have a few simple things to say about that this morning. First off, I would just like to say this. When it comes to the war of the worlds, I'd just like to say that this world here, ladies and gentlemen, that we live in, this physical one that we live in, is a godless world. The Bible says, we looked at it, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. This world that you and I are a part of, that you and I see, that you and I have to operate in at some level. I know we have to go to work. I know we have to provide for our families. And that's not what this is about. But where are your affections? Where's your heart? Where's your desires? Which world do you want to be in? Which world do you feel more comfortable in? I don't know how you view this world down here, but listen, if you open your eyes, you'll see that even in your lifetime, and for some of you that may only be 10 or 12 years, even in your lifetime, things have changed dramatically in this world down here. For some of you that have been alive a little bit longer than that, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years, listen, you've seen some big changes. Amen? Let me hear the old folks. Haven't you seen some big changes in the world? I know sin's always been around, but brethren, it's much worse. Let me ask you this, some of you older folks. Are people closer today to God than they were 20 years ago? That's just 20 years. All right? Malachi 4:3 says, "And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord." This world that we live in, ladies and gentlemen, has got nothing nothing to offer us, nothing permanent. This world and this country want more and more to remove God from our existence. Amen? Listen, you listen to the things that are going on out there. You read the news, if you keep up with it at all, or just the general attitude of people, and you'll know this. You pay attention to what your kids are being taught in school, if they're in public school. There is no absolute. Amen? There is no right and wrong. There is no judgment. That's the world. That's what the world's teaching us. Listen, the New Jersey man has just been charged with murder just 2 days after being released from prison through a state effort to release to reduce the spread of COVID. And so they released a bunch of prisoners. How many stories have you seen like that over the last year and a half? A Florida inmate was released from jail because of impending concerns over the spread of coronavirus. And he's accused of murder. Listen, there was a killer that was released after 30 years in prison. 2 years later, he killed again, prosecutors say. He was in California in prison. He was on parole after serving nearly 30 years for killing his stepmother. And here he is murdering again. This world is ungodly. God is not in this world. Listen, there's another gentleman, he was released from prison because the judge deemed that he was too old to be a threat to anybody anymore. This was in Auburn, Maine. He had served decades in prison for stabbing his wife 14 times in front of her daughter. And he was convicted of a nearly identical crime of stabbing a woman 11 times while her twin children watched after he was released from prison because he was deemed not a threat to society. Listen, this world is ungodly. God is not in this world. Like I said, he was released and then he turned right around and did the same thing again. Listen, there's no standard to live by anymore. You look at this world and everything that we were taught was right and wrong has just been being torn down around us. It's a crazy world. There's no equity anymore. Everybody yells and screams about being equal, equal rights. We want equal rights. There is no equity anymore. Ezekiel 18 puts it this way. It says, yet ye say the way of the Lord is not equal. You want equal? God's equal. Amen? Yet ye say the way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? And not your ways unequal? He said, listen, you guys got this all turned around backwards. What you're doing and claiming is equality is not equality. I think that describes America pretty well right about now. That's the first time it's happened. Listen, this world's running around telling you and I that their ways are equal. They're not equal. They're not equal. Guess what? One day we'll all find out. All along, the Bible and God's ways have always been equal. Amen? Listen, you look at this world. This world is godless. There is no peace. Look what's going on over in Afghanistan. Look at what's going on countless places across this globe. Look what's going on in our own city. There's no peace in this world. And more and more, as much as everybody claims to have all this love, I'm not seeing it as much as I used to. That's this world. Amen? Nowadays, listen, nothing is right or wrong. Nothing is black and white. Nothing is set anymore. Nowadays, there's not even male and female anymore. I don't know about you, but when my children were born, guess what? The doctor or the midwife said, hey, it's a boy, or hey, it's a girl. He didn't come out and say, hey, you guess what it is. And if you guess wrong, just change your mind later. Listen, I understand that some people struggle with feeling one way or another. But we're talking about an issue of feelings and emotions, not biology. Amen? Completely different issue. And I get it. Some people struggle with that. It's too bad, but it's not an issue of biology. It's an issue of feelings and emotions. What does the Bible say? The Bible says this. It says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. I'll take that. Thank you. Not that hard. This world would have you believe that God is the problem. God is not the problem. Right? This world will have you believe that God is the one that caused all the division and the hate and the inequality and the social injustice. Listen, it is not God that caused all that stuff. It is fallen man. And more often than not, it's fallen man trying to hide from God that caused all that stuff. Galatians 6:7, you know the verse says this, be not deceived, God is not mocked. God is not mocked. One of these days it'll all come back to roost. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen? Every man, regardless of age, regardless of nationality, regardless of color, regardless of religion, everyone plays by the same rules. Everyone's under the same rules when it comes to God. Isaiah 58 puts it this way. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. God's ways are higher than our ways. Amen? This world is godless and getting more and more so as time goes on. But I tell you what, my world, the one that I'm looking forward to, ladies and gentlemen, it is glorious. Amen? I'm looking forward to the day when we get out of here. I'm looking forward to the things to come. I'm looking forward to what God is going to do with us later on. Now, how this thing right here is turning away from Him more and more and more. Romans 8:21 says this. It says, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. I'm looking for that day when I'm delivered from the bondage of this corruption. Amen? The Lord comes and gets me out of here. Exodus 15 says this. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? In my world, the one that I'm looking forward to, God has the preeminence. Amen? He's the one that receives the glory and the honor. He's the one that has all the right answers. In my world, the Bible is right. It's simple. It's not hard. In my world, there is an absolute. God's the absolute. The Bible is the absolute. It is truth and righteousness that are absolute. Listen, I have a God that left this world, and He's up in heaven right now preparing another world for me as we speak. That's my world. This world may be godless, but my world is glorious. Listen, when the Lord comes back to get me out of here, I'm going to a place that is glorious. If you're saved here, so are you. Think about it. Think about living in a world where there's no crime. Well, you don't have to scour the shops to see if they have any ammo left. Think about it. Think about living in a world where there's no injustice. I mean, that's what everybody claims to want. That's where I'm going one of these days. Think about living in a world where there is no hunger. Think about living in the world where there's no godlessness, no sin, no devil. I'm looking forward to that world. Brethren, that's the world that I want to think about. That's the world. I want to be in that world today. I mean, I understand I'm waiting on the Lord until He decides it's time to get me out of here. My wife said I can't leave too early. But I'm looking for that world. I'm looking for my world. My world's glorious. Amen? Here's another thing about this world. This world is descending into destruction. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, his disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and the end of the world. Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, I shall deceive and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars, rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. Amen? For all these things must come to pass. It's going to get worse and worse. Right? But the end is not yet. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There should be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places. Glad there wasn't one in the lake yesterday. Divers places. Never mind. Bad joke. All these things are the beginning of sorrows, right? That's this world. This world's headed downhill for destruction. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. And if you look at it, those of us that have lived for a while, you look back and over the last 15 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, brethren, it has gotten worse. There's more destruction going on now than there was before. I mean, when I was a kid, there was this one rumor of this war over in, you know, Vietnam, and it was a bad war. But man, nowadays, it is everywhere. Because this world is moving away from God, we see death and destruction on a scale that, brethren, we've never seen before. And it's only going to get worse. They say that more than 3,400 Christians have been murdered just in the past 200 days in Nigeria. One little country. They came out with a report, for the first time, there's over 50 countries that they classify as an extreme hazard for Christians. Over 50 countries that raised up to that threshold, whatever that threshold was that they set. They said last year almost 5,000 people were killed because of their Christian faith. It's going to get worse. That's this world. This world's headed for destruction. They've topped 50 countries that score levels of at least, quote, very high persecution. We see riots. We watched them. We see lawlessness. It's going on all around us. It doesn't make any sense, brethren. I mean, what we see happening in our own lifetimes, even on the news channels, that it doesn't matter which news channel you watch, we see enough to know, hey, there's something not right going on here. What's going on? This world is headed for destruction. Amen? We see unnatural affections all around us. We see natural disasters happening, right? We see man-made disasters happening. This world may be headed for destruction, and I know it's going down that road. And I know that there's nothing I can do to stop it. But you know what I can do? I can put more focus into my world. And my world, I look up. And I know this, there's coming a day when my world's going to be descending down from heaven. New Jerusalem. Amen? New Jerusalem. It says in Revelation 21, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God, out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. That's my world. That's the one, that's the one I'm looking forward to. I live in one that's going through destruction. But brethren, I'm looking forward to the one that's descending down from heaven. I don't know where your thoughts are on a daily basis. I don't know where you manage to keep your balance. And I know that, you know, we're in the world, but we're not of the world, right? We all have to survive in this world. That's where the Lord put us And I understand that. I'm not talking about going to work. I'm not talking about going out and going fishing. I'm not talking about all those things that just normal. I'm just talking in general. When it comes to spiritual things, I don't want to be a part of this world. Because this world is headed for destruction. And brethren, when I think of the world that I'm going to, it makes the things that are going on in this world, doesn't make them okay. But at least I have something better to look forward to. Amen? At least I have hope. At least I know that in the end there's going to be peace. There's going to be love. There's going to be that utopia that everybody wants that nobody can find. I know how to get there. It's just a matter of time. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Amen? This world may be headed for destruction, but my world, brethren, my world is descending down from heaven. New Jerusalem. That thing's going to come down as a bride adorned for the bridegroom. I'm looking for that holy city to drop down out of the air. I want to watch it. I want to be there. I want to see it come down out of the air. Maybe I'll float along with it. It'll be at the end of the millennium. We'll hang out. We can just kind of, you know, when you're diving, you try to find this thing that's neutral buoyancy. And when you find it, you can just kind of float effortlessly. You just kind of hang out right there in the middle of the water. And without any effort at all, you're just kind of watching. I was diving yesterday, and I had some divers out with me and leading them on the dive, and found this bass, you know, that big, no, probably about this big. And swimming around the water. And of course, I was diving my rebreather, which doesn't blow bubbles. So fish aren't as afraid of you. So I thought to myself, you know what? I just want to see how close I can get to this fish. So here I am, nice and still in my rebreather. I'm horizontal in the water, and I just start with my fins just kind of slowly inching up to this fish. And I got to where this fish was right about here. And we were just staring at each other. And he'd turn and look at me. And then he'd kind of swim away a little, and I'd swim over. And I had a great time just being in the water, checking out these fish eyeballs. It was really cool. That's what I want to do when New Jerusalem comes down. I just want to sit out there, neutral buoyancy, as the city comes down and watch it. Oh, thanks, Lord. That's my home. That's my world. That's where I want to go. All these years in this life, you know what? When that actually happens, it's all going to be worth it. This thing we got going on here, I know we have to live in it. And I know there are certain things that, you know what, we have to put up with because we're here. And I'm not preaching against that. I'm just saying, when it comes to my heart, when it comes to my passion, when it comes to my vision, when it comes to where my mind should be all the time, it's not on this one. It's on that one. Amen? This world's headed for destruction. Mine, one of these days, is going to be descending down out of heaven. And I just want to be there and watch it as it comes down. I'm going to look over at the Lord and say, Lord, thanks. Lord, thanks. I don't have to worry at that time about the government or the governor. I doubt there'll be a mask mandate. I'll have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords as the ruler. That's my world. That's the one I'm looking forward to, man. I can't wait. Finally, I'll wrap this up here. A couple more things. This world. This one right here that you're in now, brethren, this world is nuts. I'm sorry, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? For they are foolishness unto him. You know what that thing says? That says this world, which is run by a bunch of lost people, they don't understand God's concepts. How can they make the right decisions if they don't understand the guy that created all this thing? I mean, that verse in essence says this world is nuts. Because they don't understand God. They're not going to make decisions based upon what God would make. Why? Because they're foolishness to them. That verse tells me, brethren, this world is being run by a bunch of lost people who hate the Lord Jesus Christ, who don't have any time for Him, who just as soon like to see Him out of everything because, you know, you have to separate church and state. No, you just have to have a little bit of brains about it to balance the two right. I'm not for forcing everybody to be a Baptist. That's not what I'm after. I think God gave every man a free will. I think every man ought to have a free will. If they want to be a Hindu, more power to them. If they want to be a Buddhist, good for them. For now. Not so much later. I think everybody ought to have a free will. Why? Because that's the way God made us. He gave us a free will. So I think everybody ought to have a free will. But there's still truth. And one of these days, the truth is what matters. And everybody's free will is going to be judged according to the truth as to whether what they chose was right or wrong. And in this world, the people that are running this world, the natural man, you know what? They don't receive the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Because the godly things that they should be propagating in their mind, ladies and gentlemen, you wonder why a lot of the laws get passed that get passed. You wonder why what's happening in this world is allowed to happen and doesn't make any sense. Why? Because they're run by a bunch of natural men and the things that are right to them seem foolish. You can't tell me that you can look back over the last year and a half and look at some of the decisions politicians have made and you have thought to yourself, well, that was pretty silly. I know why. This world is nuts. This world is nuts. Listen, you glance through the stories and the news and you read about, you know, Michael Moore. He's nuts, man. Michael Moore, you know, had an interview and he in talking about the Taliban, he said this. He said, they're religious nuts. Okay, I'll agree with that. But we've got those too, he said. He said, they're going to operate under Islamic law. That's exactly how the Southern Baptists want it to be. Really? Because I've never seen a Southern Baptist that wanted that kind of stuff to go on. Now, maybe there are some. I don't know. I don't know all of them. But somebody's not thinking right. Why? Because to him, anything godly is foolish. And he can't even differentiate which God it is. The God of this world or the God of the universe. Amen? To him, it's all lumped in the same thing. It's foolishness. You have a bunch of Minnesota principles that are decentering whiteness. Whatever that is. Because apparently PTAs and unions are a indication of white supremacy. Parent-teacher associations, as in parents being involved with, that's white supremacy. What if there's nobody white in the school? Is a PTA then still racist? It's nuts. It's nuts. You look at just about anything that's coming out nowadays, and brethren, it doesn't make any sense. How's a parent-teacher association white supremacist? I'm not saying there can't be white supremacists on that, but there could be white supremacist teachers or students or police officers or criminals. Right? I mean, mankind is mankind. It doesn't matter what occupation they have. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. Why? Because they're nuts. They don't know any better. They don't have the discernment. This world is nuts. But ladies and gentlemen, my world, and I'm done, my world is not nuts. My world is near. One of these days, hopefully pretty soon, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back.
And one of these days, ladies and gentlemen, you and I, if you're saved, we're going to get out of this crazy world. And we're going to the one that the Lord prepared for us. He which testifieth these things saith this, surely I come quickly. I know the argument is, oh, people have been saying that for 2,000 years. Well, listen, 2,000 years is really nothing in God's eyes. But you look at everything going on, you look at the time, you look at how God set up history, and you know this, brethren, we are getting closer and closer and closer. And what I want to be found is I want to be found paying more attention and putting more of my effort and my energy into my world and less into this world. I got it. You can't completely avoid this world. There are obligations that you have to take care of. But my heart doesn't have to be here. I can do my duty. I can maintain my civic responsibility. And you know what? I can even go about trying to change some of the things in this world. I think we should be a good influence. But my heart and my desire should be in the other world. Amen? Orson Welles, H.G. Wells wrote that book, War of the Worlds. That's pretty much what we've come down to. It's been good for the last 100 years. One of these days, the Martians are really going to come. But until then, brethren, keep your affections and your heart and your passions in the right world. Because anything in this world, I hope we can make a difference in this world. I really do. I want to be a good influence. I want to do, you know, either by job or occupation or example or whatever it is. I want to have as much influence in this world and make it as good as I can. But I have to remember my main objective is the next world. Amen? That's where our main objective needs to be. This world versus the next world. This world versus my world. I'll take my world any day. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you again for an opportunity to be here on Sunday morning. You're a great God. And Father, I know that as time goes on, there's more and more that's going to be turned over to Satan when it comes to the things of this world. He is the God of this world, and Father, he's going to put up a big fight because he wants to control his territory. But I know this, I know in the end, he's going to lose. Father, I'm glad that we have a bunch of saved folks here this morning, a bunch of people who've trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And Lord, we're going to wind up in that next world. What a glorious thing that is. Help us to keep the right balance in the two. Help us, Father, to keep our mind as much as we can in the world to come. Help us to do our duty in this world. But, Father, to keep our heart in the next. And pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.